You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday episode, Tuesday evening possibly, depending on when you're listening to this pod. And you know what that means? Wednesday mornings means you're hearing not only Brian Peacock, that's me, at BD Peacock on Twitter, not only Eric Crocker, at Eric underscore Crocker, but also our guest, Nick Winkler, at Bay Area Wink on Twitter. I want to thank everybody out there for making us your first listen every day right here on Locked On 49ers. And now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Four straight, Wink. How are we right now? How are things going in the Winkler household? I know you got to go to gymnastics a little bit later. Is going to gymnastics class with your daughter a better experience right now than watching the 49ers lose four straight games?
I really got to work on my floor routine. You know, I'm not sticking my landings. So, you know, it's going to take a little bit extra practice this week. It's been rough. I think you guys did it right this week on the pod. You went back to the old therapy sessions, you know, kind of calm everybody down. Because it's tough, man. You don't want to lose four straight. You never want to lose, period, let alone four straight. And like they did at home, like it was rough.
I will say something if you guys want any words of encouragement.
Oh, please.
I was on the Spaces just asking, like, hey, what is the Super Bowl roster, right? And we were just having this conversation on Spaces on Twitter. And Will Blackman came on, and I was talking to him about it, and I know he had been on both sides of the spectrum, and he played and won a Super Bowl with the Giants. Well, that year, they went on a four-game skid, and that was why they kind of had to back their way in to the playoffs and barely made wild card, and they ended up ultimately going on to win in the Super Bowl. So if anybody wants any type of, you know, the sky isn't falling and is not all the way over, hopefully that can be some sense of encouragement.
And that was the 18-1 Patriots year? The undefeated Patriots, they beat
the
Super Bowl?
Yeah. Okay. She said 2011, I believe. So
I mean, they definitely beat the Patriots because that's what the Giants do in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I mean, that's
interesting.
It's happened once. So at least you know
that they had They said they had a ton of injuries as well. They had like 30 injuries. Now, the one thing that was different, and he talked about culture, right, and like winning culture and all that, nothing got to the coaches. So nothing got to Coughlin. The players had like this captain's council or whatever, and everyone held each other accountable. So like if you were doing something that wasn't like contributing to winning – or whatever, or carrying yourself a certain way or whatever, like that captain's council, like they would check you and dang near like try to fight you if you weren't, you know, carrying yourself
like
to
that.
A certain standard. So
yeah,
it like how coaches, you know, challenging Coach Shanahan's challenging guys in the media and all that. Well, we want him to do this, want him to do that. That stuff didn't even get to Coughlin because it was handled by the players and that captain's council.
So they had to go to like Justin Tuck and like, hey, dude, you got to slow down with these TV commercials because nobody knows who you are anyway.
All right, Strahan, OC Manura, you know.
I mean, is this like, you know, we talk about what's the difference between this team and the Super Bowl team from just a couple of years ago. And is it that present? Is it that Joe Staley in the locker room, that guy who, you know, he was the leader in there. He was the man. I was there when Joe Staley would hold court for the media. Like he was the guy in charge and it was clear. And I don't think the 49ers have a guy like that right now.
They lost a big chunk.
DeForest Buckner.
And then they lost Buck. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Staley just talked about that.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah, he talked about that this week. Staley said that he was going to go sort of pass the torch because he realized he was going to retire. Did you guys hear that story? He was talking about it on, I think, NBC Sports. And he was going to pass the torch to Buckner and let him know that, hey, you're the captain now because he was retiring. Right. And Buck's like, no, they're trading me, dude. And it's like,
that
wow.
That was how he found out. Yeah, that was how he found out.
That's a huge, each side of the ball's biggest leader being lost in the same offseason. I think that's a huge thing that I never really put together and thought about it in that sort of way. You kind of knew they were losing big pieces and leaders for the team, but you never really thought about it like that until you hear Staley talk about it this week. It was like, oh, man, that was a bigger loss than I think we all realized.
Yeah, and I think you guys kind of hit on it too early on the Sunday episode when you're recapping the game. They came out hot, they looked good, and then they went away from it. It's like, I wrote it down. This was my biggest point from the game. And it really made me upset because that first drive they came out, you know, Mitchell was looking good. You know, they were moving the pocket around. They were doing this. They went down. They scored a touchdown. They came out on their second drive, ran Mitchell on the first play. He picked up like 9 yards or something. Or no, he got a first down, I think. And then it was three straight plays where he didn't touch the ball, and then they had to kick a field goal. It was right after the turnover. Like, that to me, when they didn't get that second touchdown when they had great field position and they just totally went away from what was working on the first drive, like, that to me was like, oh, no, here we go again. I wrote it down. I put a note by, like, is this the beginning of the end? And sure enough, I just hated the play calling going forward after that. I really just was, oh, it was just driving me mad, man.
Have you guys seen the video that I tweeted out from earlier on that showed Jimmy Garoppolo's mic'd up? It was an NFL Turning Point program from way back in 2017. This was, I think, mm-hmm. Jimmy's third start, maybe the third in a row, when they beat the Tennessee Titans, and Jimmy Garoppolo was mic'd up. And it was so telling, and I was kind of blown away by it. He was just a straight up leader the second he showed up, and he was like telling guys to shut up in the huddle. Listen, here we go. We're going to do this. Words of encouragement on the sideline. I haven't really heard him mic'd up recently. Maybe he's still like this, but I really got the vibe that, man, this guy came in so confident. They were rattling off wins. This team was awful. They were so bad in 2017. Couldn't win a game. He jumps in, they win five straight, and it wasn't amazing or anything like that, but just the confidence he came in with and playing easy, playing free. It was like, okay, simplified offense. Who's open? Read one, read two, three's open, boom. Just hit him. And making throws that he hasn't really made. There was a throw to Goodwin down the sideline. It's like, where are those throws right now? Is it the ACL? Is it Kyle Shanahan? But he's just not playing with that kind of confidence anymore, right, Croc?
Is Kyle Shanahan. So I, KP Show on Twitter, you know, KP from Niners Nation. I don't know if you guys follow him, but he posted this article, and I believe it was Jake Plummer talking about Mike Shanahan and how Mike Shanahan, and this is Jake Plummer's words, basically, like, you feel like you never did anything right. You know, he was always, you know, every time you're out there, you think that you had a good game or you think you do well, and he just come in and just drill all the things that you didn't do well and really harp on that and push on that. And maybe he was just pushing, perfection, but he's like, that didn't work for him. And he said it really wore him down. Like, you know, and it was just like, you just ultimately end up feeling like, dang, I just can't do anything right. I think when you talked about, like, just the confidence and everything like that, maybe like that type of personality of your coach always making you feel like maybe you're not doing something right. In the end, that could have possibly hurt Jimmy Garoppolo and his development as a player, because I mean, this was the first time that he was the guy and he was the leader. You know, he had been behind Brady, so he knew what it looked like, but then you come in and everything you do is just not good enough. If that's how it's coming off to him, I think that can wear it down. And now all of a sudden you went from this really outspoken guy to now guys like maybe second guessing or questioning everything that you're doing.
Yeah, that's not, I think that's dead on, because I know that kind of, you know, reinforcement, or, you know, however you want to look at it, coaching style, it works for some guys, you know, and other guys, it wears down. And, you know, it's just like if your parent never tells you you're good at anything and it's always bad, like, are you going to have the kind of confidence you need to grow up and be a good member of society? And the same could go for a guy like Garoppolo. Maybe he got all of that in New England, and, you know, as the backup, he was like, that was great. And maybe that was Belichick's way of pushing Brady, like, oh, look, this guy's going to be better than you, you know, blah, 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 like hyping him up. And he needs that. He needs that kind of inflator, that person underneath him, that fluffer, if you will make you feel, you know, better about yourself and really, you know, rise to the occasion. And
to the occasion after a fluffing.
With the fluffing. Sometimes you need that.
I get where you're going with this, Wink. I get where you're going with
it. It's important, you know. Sometimes you need that to get things going, and he doesn't can't have it right it. Now. He is limp as can be, man. It's, you can see it in his throws.
There's definitely something to it, because, and it's easy to forget because it's been a little while, and you see that and it's like, wow, this was a different guy. It was a different vibe, a different player. Maybe it'll be best for Jimmy G and everybody involved. And maybe it's a personality thing. Maybe it's an offensive scheme thing. Maybe there's too much information. Some players like a lot of information. Some guys want to get really deep into it, but he hasn't really seemed to progress. The more Kyle Shanahan lays on him with the offense, the more that happens within the offense doesn't seem to really make Garoppolo any better. And you'd think that he would continue to get better, and he really hasn't taken that step. So there's definitely something there with Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. It doesn't seem like they're butting heads necessarily or anything, but no progression. And that's a problem right now on the entire 49ers roster. So it's hard to blame one guy for not progressing when there's a bunch of other young players that are also not progressing for the 49ers. So I think that's something we've got to look a little bit more into and take a little bit more serious when it comes to this 49ers team. And that's why some fingers are getting pointed at Kyle Shanahan. I want to shout out some listeners in the next segment here. Maybe we can talk a little bit more about Kyle Shanahan. Your thoughts looking at the Chicago Bears. Start to turn the page here to week 8 coming up. An incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. I downloaded it. It works. It's really cool. It tells you what gas stations are partners. And promo code TOUCHDOWN, get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. Really easy to use, and you don't have to pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200-$300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, an e-gift card, whatever. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN. Thanks again, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. And on next Tuesday, your second listen or your live listen should be the live NFL, Locked On NFL Network Trade Deadline Show. It's right around the corner, November 2nd, next Tuesday, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. That is noon to 2 Pacific time. I might jump on if the 49ers, Croc, maybe you want to jump on too. If the 49ers make a trade, I don't know if there's any big trades the 49ers can make. That's a topic maybe we could hit today or another episode coming up real soon here with that trade deadline looming next Tuesday. Who knows? Maybe Jimmy G's the guy on the move, but you can check out that live show, second half preview, Locked On NFL YouTube page next Tuesday, November 2nd, noon Pacific time. Wink, I just found out that you were at that Titans 49ers game in 2017 that turning point mic'd up Jimmy Garoppolo segment was about.
Yeah, it was actually, I was covering it. I was there for Sirius Radio and for Metro News Source, and I was getting audio in the clubhouse or in the locker room. So I actually got to be at that press conference, and it was just wild because he was, you know, he was this new, I don't want to call him a toy, but like, you know, he was this exciting new figure that the 49ers got. And you could feel the energy in the locker room. You could feel the energy in the press room. You could hear it, you know, as he's walking down, you know, the fans are standing, Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. And he's just got this swagger about him, you know, where it's just like, yeah, I got this. And then, you know, and let's go through the progression. So that happens, you know, you can feel it in the room. You know, he comes out, he gets this huge contract, you know, and then he goes and loses a Super Bowl and, you know, and he gets hurt. And it's like all these things keep happening against him. And if Kyle Shanahan still, you know, just to get back to that, if he's not hyping him back up, trying to get him back to where he was back in 2017, like you could see the progression of this guy just like notches getting taken out from underneath him, like getting him lower and lower and lower and lower. And it's, yeah, it's amazing how far he's fallen. You know, just over a 3-4 year span here. It's wild, man.
And his legs literally getting taken out from under him.
Right.
With those injuries, the ACL, now he's got a calf. It was high ankle sprain last year. And turning gray, too. His hair was so black in that segment. And like something's definitely weighing on him, man. Because he's too young to be turning that gray.
He looks like George Clooney.
Yeah, exactly. Right? He's a silver fox. He's got more grays than Brady does, although I bet Brady dyes his hair.
Yeah, no doubt. He's got a person that does it with avocado, I think.
Oh, yeah. A couple of really quick shout-outs here to some listeners. I want to make sure I get these in. Talked about the first listen, and when I mentioned it on Twitter, there were some really cool messages from some fans, and I know there's a bunch of others I'm not going to read, so I appreciate everybody out there that listens every single day. I know there's so many who have been listening for so long to this show. Wink, we got shout-outs from 2016, back in the Gold Faithful days from Dustin. He said, been listening since 2016. I love it, popping in my headphones, being on a job site, listening to you guys talk 49ers football. Big shout-out to my guy, BD Peacock, Eric Crocker, Bay Area Wink, for giving a longtime listener something great to start my mornings off with. So appreciate that message, Dustin. Here's one from Dean. He said, man, not only did you start me on this podcast stuff, but you got me hooked. Now I can't find enough. I love music, but I have a hard time making it making time for it with all the great podcasts, and yours is for sure the first or close to it every day. Haven't missed an episode since 2018. So that's awesome. I love seeing that, getting him hooked on the podcast game entirely. And then this one from Used Goat, and this was a goat tweet from Used Goat. He said, first of the day, sometimes the night before, Brian, quote unquote, the gateway pod peacock who introduced me to multiple podcasters, including a couple by the name of Eric Crocker, before he joined BD Peacock, and also home to the People's Podcast guest, Bay Area Wink. So I appreciate all those messages, guys, and it means a lot, and I love hearing from the listeners, especially some of you that have listened for so long every single day. Your first listen. Love it.
Absolutely. Peacock, awesome. Do you consider yourself a member of the media?
I consider myself a member of the media. I'm a journalist and analyst. I'm not a credentialed media member, so maybe the 49ers PR staff doesn't consider me a member of the media, but I guess I would in a certain way. I like operating independently. That's been my sort of attitude my entire life. And so I kind of like the independent nature of not being too close to the team at times and not needing to have a feeling like I have to speak about things a certain way either. So like I can say whatever the heck I want. And I do like that vibe. But there are some times when I wish I could be closer to the team. I'm not close enough to be at the facility every day because I'm where I'm living right now, but that might change. Maybe I'll be closer to Santa Clara sometime soon and I can be closer to the team every day. But yeah, I guess I would. Croc, do you consider yourself a member of the media? I consider you a member of the media.
No, not at all.
I do. I consider like you me, both parts of the media.
To me, I just talk football. So like I don't look at it like media member. Now I have them somewhere around here. I have, you know, media credentials and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. I've done that. But to me, that was just like, wow, they let me in. Like, you know, and I know the players are probably looking like, he doesn't look like these other people, you know, that usually cover the 49ers. So I don't look. I just look at myself as just somebody that just talks football and people listen to it.
That's a media member in my book. But I've also worked for like big media organizations too, and you know, in radio. Yeah. And I've actually been.
So you're media. You are media.
I've been credentialed more for the San Francisco Giants than the San Francisco 49ers from my radio days, which is interesting.
I've actually been credentialed more for the Warriors than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did Warriors, did Giants, did A's, did actually, well, maybe the A's. Actually, now that I think about it, I think I covered the A's most. But that's easy. It's easy to cover a team that you don't really care about. You know, for me, it was much easier to be critical and, you know, and to just be, and not even critical, more so just open-minded to things. Because as a fan, you know, you have your biases and you have this and that. You know, for me, it's like, I want these guys to succeed, you know? So for me, it's like, I'm always trying to make excuses for him. Like, oh no, it's fine. He's going to get better. He's going to get better. He's not getting better.
Yeah. The more tied in you are, the harder it is to be objective, and you don't want to be too negative because your heart's in it, and you don't want to be too positive and be a homer either.
Right.
So yeah.
Right.
Did you see this one? This is an interesting take about Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. And this one from Benjamin Albright, who covers the Broncos, does Broncos radio, and he's got some pretty good connections. And he replied to a Chris Biederman, who is a member of the media, an official member of the media for the Sacramento Bee covering the 49ers. He said, so Biederman said, talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and how Shanahan said that he was not one bad game away from losing his job. And that was from the Monday press conference. Croc and I talked about that yesterday. Benjamin Albright's reply to it was, the 49ers need Jimmy G to turn it around and play well to try to recoup assets spent on trade for Trey Lance after this season. Niners fans should be rooting for that. Lance is the guy next year. Do you think there's anything, whether it's kind of deep-seated in Shanahan's mind or this was just sort of an organizational philosophy where they're like, look, we have to start Jimmy all year. We need him to play well. We need to trade him after the season to get some picks back because we just spent all these picks on Trey Lance. Do you think that plays into the decision to not play Trey and to play Jimmy for longer this year? Croc, no? Shaking your head over there.
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think as a coach, you don't play to that. Like you play to win. Right, you're not going to play to like, well, if we play him and he does well, then we can trade him. Now, Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you go into it thinking, well, if he plays well, then he'll have more trade value, but that's not the reason why you're playing him or starting him for an entire year. You're playing him or starting him because you feel like he gives you the best chance to win.
Wink, you were nodding your head yes when I was saying that.
Yeah, I don't think it's the main reason that it goes into Jimmy G, but I think before the season, you know, obviously when you draft a guy who you know, we've gone over it a lot, Trey Lance's college career, it's not huge. You know, it's not like he's pro ready to come in. So you don't want that guy to get out there and get destroyed and, you know, destroy his ability to grow as a quarterback and any sort of confidence that he may have. So you start Jimmy G, but there's that part deep down inside of you that's like, okay, we give up a lot of first round picks for this guy. Like, we should try to recoup something if we're going to move on from our starter, Jimmy G. So you put him in there and you let him keep going. And Trey Lance did start a game and he didn't look great. I mean, he didn't look horrible. You know, it didn't look like they're going to go that far off, you know, from what they're doing right now if he's to start again. So why not throw Jimmy G back out there again? Let Trey watch some more. Don't get him killed. You know, I hate what's happening to Justin Fields right now in Chicago. Like, that's brutal to watch what's happening to Wilson, too. Like, these poor kids, like, they're getting their bodies destroyed. You know, and is the confidence thing gonna linger for a long time too? So I think the 49ers are playing it right. You know, I'd love to see Lance out there starting this weekend against Chicago, but I think the right move is still to put Jimmy Garoppolo out there.
So basically you're saying having Trey wait a week too long or even a month too long is better than putting him out there a week or a month too soon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Plus, you know, what sucks too is where the 49ers are sitting right now. Like, they gave up all these first round picks, assuming they were going to be late first round picks. Like, they're headed towards that being like the number 2, 3, 4 pick at the end of the year. Like, that's not good.
Oh, thank you for that segue, Nick. That is the next thing I have in my notes to cover today. Oof. And that is the current NFL draft order for 2022 entering week 8. And maybe some of your questions next. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface to start the basketball season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. And of course, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the football action this weekend and this entire season, along with the NBA and NHL starting up. And you still got baseball playoffs going on. College football, get involved in all of it and head over to BetOnline's new updated desktop or mobile websites to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. Not only football, basketball, baseball, hockey, there's boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers, news, sports at BetOnline available for the 2021 season. Promo code LOCKEDON to receive that welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars for yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or really just hard to eat and choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, which can't go unnoticed. And when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience and one that you will enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are high in protein. They are low in calorie, low fat, low sugar, low carb. At work, wherever you are, a Built Bar, throw it right in your bag, right in your pocket, and you are ready to go with a fantastic snack that is good for you and a ton of fantastic flavors. They've got puffy, marshmallowy ones and some with some crunch involved. I love the peanut butter, mint brownie, cherry barcia, double chocolate. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. Don't miss out on this offer. Getting 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. I don't know if you guys have seen the latest draft order.
Was I close?
What did you say it was?
I said like 2, 3, 4. It can't be 2.
No, it's not that high because there are some god-awful teams in the NFL right now.
Okay,
Croc, so you have a guess 10, of where though. That 49ers pick would be if the season ended today?
Well, they're drafting second round, so.
Well, where their pick would have been. Good point. Great point. Where their pick would have been that is now owned by all the right. Miami Dolphins.
Well said.
I'd say about 8th.
It's actually 10th. So it is a top 10 pick, but it's only 10th. But that is because they have had the bye. So some other two-win teams have 5 losses. They have 4. No matter how bad the 49ers do, it's not going to be a pick that's ahead of Detroit, who hasn't won a game yet. Houston, who probably won't win another game. They're 1-6. Philadelphia's not doing great either at 1-6. The Philadelphia Eagles have 2 picks in the top 10 because they have the Dolphins pick. God, I don't know what the hell the Dolphins were thinking going back from 12 up to 6. After the 49ers trade was great for the Dolphins. They undid it by giving up that value to go up and get Waddle, and Waddle's fine. But, man, that pick right now is number 3 because the Dolphins are 1-6, and that pick belongs to the Eagles. The Eagles themselves would have the 9th pick at 2-5. Washington's 2-5. The Jets are 2-5. No, excuse me. I did it again. So there's 3 teams that have 2 picks in the top 10 right now. Oof. Miami, Philadelphia, and the Miami would have had 3, and the New York Jets. So the Jets are 1-5, and then they have the Seahawks pick, which is at 2-5 would be the 7th pick. So that's where the 49ers are versus some other teams in the NFL. I don't know that they're going to finish with the top 10 pick, but that just makes that trade cost a little bit more than being that pick. It's like, oh, sure, give up all the picks because we're going to be picking in the late 20s anyway. It doesn't always work out that way.
Well, it's like you said, too. It's like you look at these teams that are picking like that, and in my head, I'm thinking, oh, trash, trash, trash. And it's like, oh, wait, the 49ers are right behind them. Like, that's not good.
Same amount of wins.
Right. Ouch. That's when it hurts.
Oh, yeah. So draft season is going to be very interesting, Croc. We're going to be doing a show every day and just scouring the earth for day 2 and day 3 prospects.
Day 2 cornerbacks.
Yeah. But then the 49ers aren't going to draft them. I've been looking at cornerbacks for so many years now in the first and second rounds, and the Niners just don't sniff them. A little frustrating.
This is the year, unless they get any kind of positive vibes from Ambry Thomas. If there's any kind of like, okay, he could be a guy, then they might pass on it. But if they don't get anything from him, definitely they'll be going second round corner. So did you guys see Mina Kimes' comments about Jimmy Garoppolo? It was her and Keyshawn Johnson kind of going back and forth.
No, I did not see those comments.
So
she's a Seahawks fan, so I'm guessing she's going to be a hater on Jimmy G.
Is she? So no, she's actually like the voice of the 49ers fans. That's what she's kind of been.
Okay.
And so they get to talking about Jimmy G, and Keyshawn's talking about what he just wins. And she was like, Jimmy G should be the poster boy on why QB wins don't tell the whole story. And Keyshawn was like, well, he just wins this, that, and the other. And she's like, he's not good. Like, just straight out, like, he's not good. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, she just said it.
Oh, no.
And he's like, well, he does this. And she's like, yeah, only thing he's really good at is throwing the ball right to linebackers. And Keyshawn kept going back to his quarterback record. But she's like, nah, like, he's whatever you think he is, he's not that guy.
Yeah, that sounds like a Seahawks fan right there.
I realize that that's a lame answer. I realize it.
I'll leave profanities out.
Those are the only buttons I had in front of me right there. That's
she's been pro play Trey Lance. Like, she's been pro, like, you need to play rookie.
But, like, everybody's pro play Trey Lance at this point.
Until he plays, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let's
start taking a look at the Chicago Bears, and here's a question from Jerry, and it's sort of the nightmare scenario. What if Trey Lance what if Justin Fields is the reason Trey Lance becomes the starter for the 49ers by knocking out the Niners next week and really just like putting an exclamation point on this whole thing? And Justin Fields has the breakout in this, what I was always hoping, and it's not going to happen now, was the Lance Fields week 8. I circled this on the calendar. God, I hope Lance is the starter by this game, and I hope Justin Fields is the starter by this game. It'll be so much fun. Well, Fields is playing not well. His team is a disaster. His coaching staff is a disaster. He might even be helped that Nagy, his head coach, is now on COVID. He's on the COVID list, so that might be better because his coaching staff is not good. His offensive line has been bad. But if the Niners can't beat the Bears, and I realize the Bears actually have a better record than 49ers right now, the Niners are a much better team. If you can't beat the Bears in week 8, like, you got to scrap it.
Then maybe they're
not a playoff team, right? If that's the case.
I got to get out of here, guys, but real quick before I go, I know what the Justin Fields playbook or the plan coming into This week's going to be what? Throw it deep and get pass interference. Right? I mean, that's the game plan. Go get it done. Guys, I got to go.
All right. Thanks, Wink.
DeWink is on fire.
All right. That was a good exit by Winkler. It's about time for us to exit as well. But, I mean, Kroc, that would be my game plan, too, against the 49ers. And that's one of his strengths is that deep ball. I would take some shots. And I expect Justin Fields and the Bears to take some shots. It's up to the 49ers defensive front to get to him first and maybe some blitzes because that's where they've been really bad. And I think Fields has been bad recognizing the blitz in a lot of cases.
Yeah, he kind of spoke a little too soon. And I don't know if he put a target on his back. I mean, this was going to happen regardless, but it just makes it worse. When in preseason, you play your first game and you're like, the NFL is actually slower than I thought it would be. Yeah, it's just slow, not as fast. And then he gets in the game and first start, 9 sacks, like one net passing yard. Even every game since then, I mean, he had a good game against the Lions. But aside from that, he's been fairly like pedestrian for in terms of like what a starter is supposed to look like. He had a terrible interception. I think he threw multiple interceptions against the Buccaneers. But one of them, he did like the runaround thing, then just like threw the ball in the air and it got picked off. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, you can tell when a guy's just not ready to play. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's what Trey Lance is doing in practice. And it definitely didn't look like what Trey Lance was doing against the Cardinals. But Justin Fields, who I like, and I had him as QB1 in that class. He just, when they say a guy doesn't look ready, he does not look ready. Now, he has made some throws where you're like, okay, like that's a big time throw. I like that throw. And we know he has that ability. But again, it's been real erratic. And I think even people are talking about Trey Lance not being ready. Trey Lance, compared to what we've seen as a whole from Fields, and again, we've gotten to see more Fields, so maybe there's just been more opportunity to do some weird stuff. But there's been a lot of weird moments from Fields.
We'll have a chance to talk more about the Bears. I'm sure that'll lead into a lot more Trey Lance, Justin Fields talk as the week goes on. We're going to have a little crossover with Lauren Cox, the host of Locked On Bears, our keys to victory for week 8 as well. And thanks again for making us your first listen right here, Locked On 49ers.